All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
Sean, today we're going to be talking about the 20 go-to principles to help you market like no other. So I'm kind of changing the title up a little, but we've got a guest coming up. He is the author of We're All Marketers, and we're going to be talking marketing with him here shortly. He's going to be joining us. I don't think he's got a beverage, though, so we're going to jump ahead before he comes on because it's probably 1 o'clock or a little after 1 o'clock his time, and he may not be cracking a beer at this hour.
Why not?
I would.
I would be. That's why you work for yourself, right?
That's right.
That's the whole point of. I thought that was the reason to be like solo and freelance.
That's right.
Preneur.
That's right.
So.
Yeah. So maybe maybe he'll have something. I don't know, but we'll go ahead and jump in and just ask him.
You want to go first?
Yeah. I'll go first because I've got a little. This gives me a chance to highlight. Let me pull up my notes here. Sierra Nevada.
Okay.
And what's interesting about this, Sean, is a interesting process called. Have you ever heard of dry hopping?
I've heard of dry hopping.
Okay. This is their own, I guess this is their signature form of dry hopping called the hop torpedo. And it says here, they sketch this up on the back of a napkin. Dry hopping is a way to give beer more flavor and aroma, not bitterness. A traditional method is filled with nylon sacks with hops, suspending them in fermentation tanks. Sometimes we'd remove those sacks, but even weeks later, they'd be dry in the middle with the hop torpedo. And if you go to their website, you can actually see this thing, the hop torpedo. We maximize every hop. Beer circulates out of the fermenter, flows through the column of hops and back into a tank. And he says, by adjusting the time, temperature, and speed of circulation, we can control the aromas and flavors of finished beer. So basically what they're saying is, let me hold this up here. Even though this is an IPA, they found a way to reduce the bitterness using this process. So we'll see.
So then is it an IPA if you take the bitterness out?
Well, you know, it's still got, according to their website, it still has 65 IBU bitterness units. So in my book, that's still pretty bitter. I don't know.
Yeah.
How much do they bring that down, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like just a good marketing story to me.
Yeah, I think so. It said it started, I said on the napkin, it started as a napkin sketch in a pub, an idea for this device that could boost the hop aroma without adding more bitterness. So imagine just sitting over at Casual Pint, sketching up a...
It's where all the best ideas are, right? On the back of a napkin somewhere.
Back of a napkin.
It's where the best ideas start. It's probably where Amazon... Actually, I heard the story of how Amazon started... in a book I'm reading right now. It's fascinating. I didn't know that part about the Amazon story.
Really?
Yeah.
So
So Jeff Bezos was actually working for a very forward thinking, consulting company, and the owner, this was 92, and the owner was already looking into like internet businesses and how to, like they registered some of the first domains because they saw the potential of the internet back in 92. Before anybody was talking about it really. And, they were trying to figure out what is the best thing to sell online.
Right.
And it was actually at that company that they figured out. And one of Jeff Bezos' jobs was to figure out what that product would be. And he came up with books. Mm. So, but instead of doing it there, he ended up leaving the company and starting Amazon.
And it wasn't Amazon at first. It was like, what was the name at first? It was like, I was thinking it was something else other than Amazon, or maybe it was kind of a lengthier Amazon something.
Yeah.
But
I didn't realize he basically came up with the idea on somebody else's dime. That's kind of what the book said. It's like, hey, if you got an idea, see if you can, you know, do a lot of the research while you're working for somebody.
That's right.
So the book was by Richard Koch, mm-hmm. who wrote a 80-20 principle book.
Sure.
He was in Perry Marshall's world for a little while.
Yeah, I thought that name sounded familiar.
The Star Principle was another book he wrote. So this one, I can't remember the name of it. I'll look it up here in a minute. But yeah, it's a really good book. It reminds me a lot of, I think I said this on the last episode, it reminds me a lot of Robert Greene because he uses a lot of historical references and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So really good book. like lots of little cool little business stories.
How many businesses out there were started while somebody else, while that person was working for somebody else, right?
So, I mean,
just to say.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to have some type of, I think you need to be in an environment where ideas are being generated. I mean, even look at FedEx, right? It was generated at school as a school paper.
Right.
Nobody believed in it, so he went on and did his thing. The difference is with the Jeff Bezos story is actually the guy who owned the company at the time was like, build it here.
Yeah.
And he had apparently had a long walk with Jeff Bezos, and he was like, no, I want to do it myself. And he's like, okay. And he let him take the idea with him.
Sure.
It's crazy. Yeah. So my beer today is a repeat because I literally have not had time this week to go to the store because I'm in the middle of a big launch with a client. Mm-hmm. So that's been taking up most of my days and afternoons, and I just haven't gone out to the store. So pulled one that we've had recently, the old Alesmith Speedway Stout. This was one of my, I don't know if this was a five. It was pretty close up there if it wasn't, but, it's an old 12 percenter. So,
oh man,
we'll have to sip slowly on that one. But
do you remember? Yeah, I don't remember what you,
I don't remember. Oh, look who just popped in the green room. Mr. Nico, because we can't say his last name. We don't know how to say it properly. So we'll have to.
He'll tell us.
Yeah. It's one of those names that us pure Americans just don't know how to pronounce.
We'll take a guess. We're going to guess the origin.
I mean, Jonathan, did you ever see a name like that growing up in Georgia? No. No. We're just redneck boys drinking beer. We don't know how to pronounce certain names.
That's right.
So we do invite him on the podcast.
What's that? Yeah, exactly. Of course. Because so it always equal, makes us look better.
Yeah, we're equal opportunity. We're learning. We're growing. So, all right. Should we bring him on?
We should.
You want to introduce him first? Or yes. How do we do this? We've only done this 199 times.
Yeah, which is we're coming close to 200 episodes, and yet we still don't have this figured out. So
yeah,
let's just go ahead and bring him up. Let's give him.
All right.
Nico, welcome to the show, man.
My friends, thank you so much for having me.
We got to give you applause, even though we don't know how to pronounce your last name.
Well, you have to take a guess, right? Like this is part of the fun, right?
Me first. I'm going to go DeBrun. DeBrun.
Okay.
All right, Sean.
I don't know. I'm going to go DeBrine. I'm going to say the U is like silent.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
The brain.
DeBrain. Really?
Right. Yeah, it's DeBrain.
See? Not even close to what it looks like.
But I'll give you extra bonus points if you're able to say or guess where I'm from, because you're right. I am a U.S. citizen now, but I wasn't always. This is a relatively new thing for me.
Okay, I'm going to say... Okay, go ahead, Sean, because I've got my idea.
Well, I don't know. Go ahead. You had an idea earlier, Jonathan, so go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know... I'm getting your accent, so I'm trying to think that's kind of playing like, into it.
Like the Netherlands regions.
Yeah, I was thinking there. Yeah, possibly the Netherlands. I was going to say maybe Danish, Swedish. I don't know. We'll go Sweden.
Sweden. Okay.
I know when you said DeBrain, now I'm thinking like Canadian of some kind, but because they have the weird spell or French, I guess, because of the. They do some weird things with their U's and Y's and O's and I's and all that stuff. So I'm going to go with France.
France. Okay. Well, this is good. So originally from South Africa, but my ancestors are from the Belgian Netherlands area with some ties to France. So bonus points.
Very know, right? Nico, that was a very political answer to make us both feel.
So you're saying we all won, right?
I mean, we listen. We're all winners here, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, again, thank you so much for having me on as a guest.
So yeah, you're on the Pacific Coast, right? Are you in California?
Correct. We're based out of Phoenix. Took me a second there. Yeah, Phoenix.
Oh, okay. All right. Great.
Okay. So do you have a beverage today? Are you not drinking?
I do. It is 1 o'clock, but you know, here, but hey, when my team was like, hey, make sure to have your favorite drink there. I was like, okay. Well,
so what are you we'll be there. So what do you have?
So yeah, so it's a, it's like a coffee beer. So I have a little equity in a coffee company and we were testing out coffee and beer. It was supposed to be more of a kombucha, but alcohol is a little higher than we thought. So,
ooh, okay.
So is it like a coffee stout?
Yeah.
Cool.
We'll try like our own little mix on that. Yeah.
Nice. That's one of our favorites around here is coffee stout.
Absolutely.
So I'm kind of similar to what I'm having. Yeah. Imperial stout with coffee. 12% do you like ABV?
Do you drink kombucha?
Kombucha? Yeah. Kombucha. Yep. I do. It has a nice little, like fizz taste to me. Yeah. I like LaCroix, sparkling waters. I love cold brew, natural cold brew. So I need a little bit of like bubbles in my life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm addicted to Coca-Cola. So to say, yeah.
I mean, diet or regular? That's always
regular.
There we go. Yeah.
Don't mess with that diet stuff. It's just
Although lately, cause I've been trying to do a keto this month. It's, I've had to go down to Zevia.
Those are green packets, right? The green packets?
The Zevia is just like, it's its own brand of
those are
of
actually, cola. Some of those are good. Which flavor do you go with?
I like the Coke and the grape. So okay.
The Dr. Zevia is pretty good too. So
yeah, I need to pick some of that up. And it gets better the longer you're on keto because you're not expecting a sweet. So it kind of evens out. So it's getting better as I go. So yeah, good stuff. All right. Well, I'm excited about this topic today. We're all marketers. That is like, we've said that in one way or the other, like we're all salespeople. We're all marketers.
Yeah. Great title.
You know, yeah. I think what Seth Godin had one, All Marketers Are Liars. Yeah. This is not the same book.
Well, he had to change it to storytellers.
Yeah. Yes. It's the SEO from that book is crushes mine. Be honest. You type in world marketers, first thing is like Seth Godin. I'm like, great. He wins again. Granted, great marketer though. Great
marketer. For sure. Well, he's been in the game a long time. Absolutely. I mean, you're a third his age. So what you know, what can you say? But so tell us a little bit about your background and what makes you an authority on being a marketer. Like, why did you write, who are you, Nico, to write this book?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always the fun question because if you spend 60 seconds on my LinkedIn, you'll see, wow, this guy doesn't even have a marketing degree. So I actually wrote the book because I was a failed medical student, right? So I went to school as every immigrant, wanted to be a doctor, got into my second year and was like, oh no, can't do it. After your first cadaver, I was like, I can't do this. I can't deal with cutting people open. So quickly pivoted to doing anything and everything I could. So I interned at dozens of different companies and every single time they would just hand me the social media stuff. Oh, make this graphic or do this market research. And eventually I was like, wow, if everyone keeps giving me this stuff, maybe I should figure it out. That's when I said, okay, what's the lazy man's way to do it? Like writing a book is not lazy work, but I was like, why don't I just ask accomplished marketers what they did and then I just do it and then I can be successful. So that's where the world marketers concept came from. I said, okay, let me go to these marketers, learn what one thing made them successful. And I was able to interview amazing people. The past CCO, Chief Creative Officer of VaynerMedia, for instance, was a Steve Babcock, fantastic marketer. To people like Wendy Stevens that really helped pioneer guerrilla marketing back in the day. So I was able to get a huge, huge list of, which in this case was north of 25 topics. I whittled it down to 20, which is still high, but that's what kind of got me into the marketing game. Leveraged that to get a marketing job, was there for 2 weeks and said, I need to do something more because 9 to 5 is fun, but then there's some hours before 9 and after 9.
Yeah.
So let me do something with it. That led me to starting Boundless Media and now do that full time. We help B2B agents or B2B companies sell better, faster, cheaper on LinkedIn.
Mm. Very cool. Nice.
Yeah. Is that specifically on LinkedIn? Is that the main platform that you focus on?
Yeah. So we do content. Everything's holistic in marketing. So content marketing, organic on LinkedIn. And then we have a multi-pronged approach, right? So LinkedIn, email, text, and voice. Mm-hmm. It's just LinkedIn, as you guys know, there's new limitations. There's always, you know, someone that's on email more or text more than LinkedIn. So yeah. I want to make sure that I'm hitting the person where they are.
Very cool. So we've got a few listeners on the live stream. Not a whole lot, but a few. But if you got any questions throughout the show, you can let us know. We'll ask Nico. You can drop them in the comments. We may or may not be able to see your name, depending on if you've allowed StreamYard to see your name. So, but yeah, feel free to drop comments in there, and I'll keep an eye on those.
Great. So the book. So I love the title. First of all, Sean and I were saying we love the title of the book. We're all marketers, because I think you know, I was just reading kind of the introduction of your book, and, you know, just like Sean was saying at the beginning, you know, we're all in essence salespeople. You know, don't say, you know, I don't do sales, or I'm not in sales, or I'm not a marketer, because we always should be having that mindset. If you're going out to position yourself for a new job, if you were, you know, whatever position you're in, or, you know, even mm-hmm. in your family life or public life, whatever, you know, you're kind of, there are lessons to be taken away in marketing that you can utilize. So I that's the thing I love about your book, is like, you kind of like, this is not just a separate category for just people that are in business or B2B mm-hmm. or whatever. This is like, if you're just trying to land a job out of college, you know, there's some things that you can take away from this book and apply and put yourself to the top of the list, especially in a time where, you know, there's so much competition for, you know, your attention. People are just demanding attention. Social media is like, everybody's getting pulled in so many different directions with so many different platforms and avenues of approach. And so you've got to be able to get their attention quick and be able to, you know, kind of put yourself above everybody else, position yourself at the top. So kudos Absolutely. To you.
I appreciate it, but and that's the biggest thing. Like, my book wasn't meant to be. It's been adopted now in for some marketers that want to learn more of the basics rather than what's happening on Instagram or Facebook. But really, it's for the person that doesn't classify, exactly what we said, doesn't classify themselves as a marketer. Right. They just know that this thing is like personal brand. Like, where do you start with it? Like, one of the first things I discovered was, and much like you guys know, niche. Like, you've got to know who you're talking to customize the message. It's very like high level stuff now that I'm in marketing for the last 4 or 5 years. Simple, right? But as someone who's maybe just starting their side hustle, or maybe trying to climb the corporate ladder, these basic questions go so far. And a part of my book, I'm a checklist type of guy. Like, mm-hmm. don't tell me something interesting. Show me what I need to do. Right. So in my book, I have checklists, because I want you to say, do this, 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 and this. And you'll get to, you know, if you want to put in the work, you'll get somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. I do some consulting for a company that has a group of people who are trying to start their businesses and things like that. And it's interesting how they don't understand. It takes a lot for them to grasp that idea of, you really got to know who you're marketing to. Like, more important than what your product does, because you can sell any product to almost anyone if you can find the link between, because the basic human desires of people, of humans, is they're pretty universal, yeah. right? And so the trick, as Eugene Schwartz has always said, is like linking whatever that current desire they have is to your product, mm-hmm. right? Like, you're not going to make them want your product. You're going to make them want what they want, and your product just happens to be able to fill that need. Yeah. So when you know intimately what people want and what they're struggling with and all that, then it's so much easier to do all your marketing. Yeah. It's cheaper. Absolutely. You'll get more response. Like, everything just works better.
And that's the thing. It's, you mentioned earlier, there's so much out there. Sorry, my internet just went a little haywire, but there's just so much out there today. How are you going to compete if you don't customize your messaging?
So what do you tell people? You know, you said you have a B2B, you know, agency. So where do you start with, you've got 20 principles here. Like, where do you start with companies? Cause I found in writing copy for some B2B companies, they're even a lot of times more unaware of this stuff than the B2C companies are. Right. Cause they're, a lot of them got their start or made their money offline, either locally or they've been around long enough, you know, mom and pops or whatever. So they didn't even have to use the internet, which I know blows some people's mind that you can have a business that's not online, but it's true. You can. And a lot of these companies have done well offline and now they're moving online. But even so, like, they still don't know the basics. It's actually pretty mind blowing when you look at it. So where do you start? Which principle, like, do you start with? Are your 20 principles in order, or are they just kind of different ones you pulled from different people?
Yeah. So I'm going to bring this up right now. It's meant to, like, again, that's awful. I might just share my screen, but for me, it's, my principles are, you much like any storyline, right? You start with, like, for instance, chapter one is called New Game. Like, what's actually going on that you can now do online and offline? Cut out there. I might just have to jump to my 4G. So if I cut out, that's why. But you have to understand what's actually going on. Like, who are you competing with nowadays? You're not just competing with the guy next door. You're competing with the guy halfway across the state. So where I start, like, what's, I would look at the competitive landscape. So if you've just been offline, why have you been successful? Because usually from that, you're able to borrow and steal some tactics, right? Like, I've been good because people talk about my solution. Great. How do you prompt them to do the same thing online? Not necessarily that they change the product or anything, but, like, how do you make it easy for someone to share a good experience, right? That might be the unlock for your business, right? So what, and my biggest thing is, like, borrow and steal from your competitors. If you own, let's say, a coffee shop, right? Go look at Yelp and look what people are saying they love about other coffee shops in the area and what they don't. Do more of what they say they like and start taking those, you know, for instance, like almond milk, right? He took small businesses here local in Arizona forever to adopt almond milk, soy milk, coconut milk, right?
Right. Yeah.
If people are complaining about it, if the market's telling you what they want, why not leverage that and then bring that into your business, you know?
Yeah. And that's what's so cool about, I guess, what you're calling the new game here, this online world, is like all the information to do anything you want to do and get the feedback is already out there. Like, you don't even have to ask for it. It's already out there. Like you said, with Yelp reviews or Quora forums or Reddit or wherever else you want to go. It's like,
yeah, it gives you the opportunity to really dig in and find out like the conversations people are having and
already have it. Yeah. Like, you know, it used to be you had to poll people or, you know, ask them the question or send a salesperson to their house, you know, to get the answer. But now, because there's only so many businesses and, you know, there's multiples of every business in every area. Like, the answer's already out there. And I think you got to realize that and just be willing to do an afternoon's worth of research. That's really all it takes, a couple hours, and you can find probably more stuff than you can implement in a month or two.
Right.
You know, in one, in 2 or 3 hours.
And the nice thing is that's going to impact your messaging as well as your content, right? I tell people, let's just really make this simple. What do people want you to talk about? I.e. if there's FAQs that they like in B2B world, every salesperson has 5 questions that they're always going to get: process, price, what makes you different, like case studies, all that. What if you just gave that prospect all that content up front? It makes, number one, the sales cycles a lot shorter, maximizes their time and your time. And frankly, you'll be deeper into this discussion.
Yeah.
Like, again, that's just really like what would it look like if it was easy? That's my philosophy with marketing.
Yeah.
It's a great point. Go ahead, Jonathan.
You got a section called Niches and Riches or Riches and Niches. I got it backwards there. Sean and I talk about this a lot, like, because we have a tendency to sometimes go back and forth, you know, because we talk about, you know, diving deep or kind of getting really focused in a niche. And really that's a good strategy for kind of drilling down into a, you know, a specific market. Other times, I don't know, you know, it's like, maybe that's not the best. So I'm curious as to what, let's flesh that out a little bit on that chapter on diving into specific niches and how to brand or how to market yourself that way.
Well, before you answer, I want to throw some confusion in here. So,
awesome. Please. Oh, I love it. Good.
because this is the battle I have with myself, even as a, you know, a trained marketer, copywriter, like I still have this battle with myself all the time. If I look around, like some of the most successful books of all time are pretty general, mm-hmm. right? Like How to Win Friends and Influence People. Like, so, like I'm talking like the classics.
Yeah. Think and Grow Rich.
Yep. Yeah. Think and Grow Rich. You know, they hit a broad swath. And if you look at the biggest companies in the world, they tend to have very broad themes, Walmart, Amazon, maybe not Apple as much. Although it's pretty, I wouldn't consider Apple having a niche anymore like they used to with, you know, graphic designers and creatives. Now it's much more mainstream, but I think so when I look around, it's easy to see that. Right. And I think for a lot of people who think, well, everybody's my customer, they see the same thing. Right. So what have you noticed and what have you heard when you're talking, interviewing these people, like that made you say, nope, it is riches and niches. That's where you got to start.
Yeah. And it's funny because that's the end goal. The end goal is to have a niche, right? It's not to start with a niche. Like for Boundless Media, we started with anyone.
Mm-hmm. Right. Interesting.
Like anyone was my customer. Then we started saying, okay, who's actually starting to see the better results from outbound, right? Oh, it's B2B companies. Great. Now that's a huge segment. That's just B2B. Mm-hmm. We help B2B companies. Great. It's not really working for accountants. It's not really working for graphic designers.
Yeah.
Okay. It's working for tech companies. So let's explore that a little bit more. Oh, it's not working for SaaS companies. It's working for consulting companies. Okay. But now that's completely different than we started because we started for everyone. And my theory is, again, because even within software, my clients are marketing to other agencies or like government institutions or whatever, right? That's different niches, right? So at the end of the day, for me, it boils down to number one, what's the market telling you, right? Mm-hmm. If you're getting more traction in a certain subset of the population, great. But even within that, now I keep it somewhat broad in regards to like the industry or whatnot, but I focus more on the actual person I'm selling to and the hard to anticipate characteristics that I don't know until I'm on the phone with someone, right? For one, are they actually a good salesperson or do they have capacity to sell? Because for me, I can give you a lead, but if you don't know how to close it, it's not going to help either one of us.
Sure. Right.
Two, yeah, right. Like it's simple, but until you work with enough customers, you don't really know that.
Yeah.
Two, like do they actually believe in their solution? Like some businesses don't have the confidence. And in selling, like if you can't really talk about your solution with confidence, like you're kind of dead in the water. And the third one, do I believe that this is going to be a long-term partnership? Like that's something I look for. I like having a little churn because me and my staff can get so deep to where we're actually helping them see things that they can't see because they're in the day-to-day. Mm-hmm. So really like those are not tangible. Like I can't look at a CRM and say, this person's going to have a positive selling experience. When I'm on a call with them, I can start seeing that. So I can only know that. And I tell that story to say, I didn't know that tech companies would be our end goal. And I didn't know that having a sales mentality was a characteristic I needed to have as a good client. Right. So for me, it's like start broad and start like every 30 days, really look at your customer base. Who's actually producing the most cash that's most fun to work with and don't give you headaches, and then start whittling it down. And the nice thing is once you have a process, then you can go test it out on something else.
Sure.
Yeah. So
I think that's a great point. I think because, you know, there's so many marketing books out there that are like, no, you need to pick your niche. Like you got to come up with the sub niche and like, they want you to figure it all out before you start. And I think it stops so many people from getting going because they're trying to get the perfect avatar. I feel like what you're talking about and just going out there and just start selling, start offering things and see who shows up is a much more realistic way to get started.
Yeah.
And then let the niche reveal itself as you go.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think that's, like I said, it's going to impact your solution, right? So like we started as saying, we're going to help you book meetings. But when we started looking at what our clients wanted, they wanted a prospecting solution. So now we really sell ourselves as the outbound prospecting. Mm-hmm. And because we now have somewhat of a niche, other companies now come to us and say, oh, we saw that you have a case study with this company. They're similar to us. We like what they said. We saw your website. I want to book a call. Now things are coming in passively instead of us having to go actively hunt for it all the time.
Yeah, I think that's important for people listening. Like, you didn't start with like, you know, a little worksheet, you know, and like say, okay, well, there's six niches. I want to focus on tech and I want to, it wasn't like a yes, no flow chart, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, I'm going to put my shingle out. I'm going to start selling some stuff and whoever shows up, I'm going to service them and we'll see kind of who's the most fun, who can actually sell based on what I'm providing them with leads. I think another one that you didn't mention is, can they fulfill?
That's a big one.
Cause some people are super confident, like the opposite, right? They're super confident, but then when it comes to fulfillment, they're terrible. Yeah. And that you don't want that person as a client either, cause you'll break their business if you provide them with too many leads. Cause it just ruin them.
That's been one of the hardest things for me. It's being, now I'm to the point where I have to say no, because possibly like I know my system can work, but you're right. Like, can they actually, there's a client or a prospect today I had to say no to, cause I just don't think there's a one person shop. Guy's great. He can sell, but I mean, you're selling $50,000 things. Like, there's some type of customer service and expectations that you have.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, could he handle, you know, 2, 3, 4 leads a day and could probably sell them, but could he fulfill them? And is he prepared to do the things that, you know, bring on staff that quick and then get the staff trained? Like that'd be tough. That'd be very tough.
So here's the question I have. Once you pivot to, so you start broad, you pivot to a niche, what do you do? Cause I'm curious. I always ask this because, you know, because I have past experience with this and targeting niche markets. What is your strategy for pivoting into a niche? Do you change your positioning? Do you change your branding to suit a specific niche, or how do you dig in and target that particular area
or industry? Yeah, it's a good question. For me, it's my brand, both my personal brand and my business brand can be adopted to any industry,
right?
Because it's its own beast, right? It's its own like thing. For me, there's certain catchphrases, and when I start selling, positioning myself, it's really in the messaging. It's that plus the content, right? Mm-hmm. There's no branding I'm going to change to go after tech versus healthcare.
Right.
Cause if you don't like my business vibe, that's who I am. Sure. It's direct correlation. Right. So, but it's a good question. So the biggest thing is the messaging that I communicate, but the content, that's the biggest thing is like, especially in LinkedIn world and B2B world, or even B2C. If you run like a shop or something, or you have a direct to consumer brand, the content will either speak to your audience or it won't. So when you start pivoting into a niche, like Gary Vee always says this, right? It's like, hey, homeowners in Tampa Bay, you just saw XYZ or whatever. It's like getting so specific to where people are like, that's me. If I can get someone to say like, that's right, or that's me.
Yeah.
I mean, the sales process is so easy after that. Right. But for me, it's listening. Whenever I go in, like with tech, it took me, I don't know, 20 days of 4 hours a day, just direct messaging, emailing, calls, just to get people to say, oh, that makes sense. So it takes time and a lot of effort. And then after I say, oh, that statement worked, let me create content so I don't have to always say the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, so I see, so your message, you know, you change your message a little bit, but you don't have to change your whole platform, your marketing. I mean, that makes sense to me, because I've been in those situations, and it was like years ago where I would like in my marketing where I would, like, pivot to a niche, and it was like, man, you just wear yourself out because you're changing everything, you're adjusting everything, your branding, your messaging. Well, not your messaging, because you want to change your messaging, but your branding, your basically how you present yourself, logos, everything, you know, is like, you know, I was like, man, I can't, you can't do this for like mm-hmm. several niches. You just gotta, you know, finally dawned on me. You can change your messaging, but you don't have to change everything about your business for that specific niche, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I was just curious.
So Nico, have you tried taking like your Boundless Media idea, and doing like a chicken soup for the soul type thing where it's like Boundless Media for, you know, this type of this niche, or Boundless Media for this niche or anything like that, like to separate things out, or you just kind of just only work now with that one niche because there's more work than you can handle?
Yeah. And it's a great question, because I've been in the startup world, especially with the agency, but you just pivot so much. You're like, oh, accountants. Yes. We're an accounting firm now. Yeah. Oh, damn. Now we're biotech. Frankly speaking, there are agencies that make that work, right? So Boundless right. Media Health or Boundless Media, like space, whatever. For mm-hmm. us, it's, we're trying to position ourselves as the B2B lead, like generation lead prospecting company for technical businesses. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's really helped us. So when people are like, what makes you different? I tell them, we only work with technical businesses. If you have a hard time articulating your solution, you're a good fit for us.
Yeah.
Because the vast majority say, oh, we help real estate, or we help, what's another big one? Like solar, right? For me, I have clients that are running biotech companies, doing very groundbreaking stuff, VR companies, which is complete, like you're talking biology and technology, two different things, sure. but they're all technical. Mm-hmm. So for us currently, Boundless is a technical lead creation shop.
Yeah.
So I want to do something a little bit different. We've never done this on the show before, so love I figure we'll do it. All right. So yeah. I want to go through, I was just looking at your website here, pulled it up. So I'm going to screen share. And most of our listeners are on podcast, so they won't be able to awesome. See this, but so as I'm asking you these questions, if I don't do a good job of giving a visual, maybe you can, Nico, but I want to go through like your homepage, mm-hmm. just scroll down it and you tell me the principles that you've applied based on your homepage.
Ooh, you that's good. That's good. I like that.
You up for that?
That's awesome. Oh right. Yeah. That sounds fun.
So let me, hold on. Let me move this to another screen so it doesn't show us and we end up in that weird, like, I gotta get rid of some stuff on some screens.
No, you're good. You're good. And just cause I hate dead space. The biggest thing, I'm going to say this later, right? Just get started. I mean, every marketer is going to tell you the same thing, but like really just get started. Like we're just three awesome, good looking guys here just coming up with this stuff because we've just tested and have data.
Sure.
So just get started.
I like the good looking guy thing.
I was going to say that's very insightful. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, you're good.
All right. So we're looking at Nico's cool. Boundless, getboundlessmedia.com site. Mm-hmm. And I just want to start at the top. Like you've got this, I think a good headline here, like add 500K to your pipeline.
Yep.
So
that's really good.
So
that's really good.
Walk us. I know there's more to, like, you didn't just come up with that. Mm-hmm. Like pipeline is a very specific word. So just walk me through add 500K to your pipeline and the principles behind that.
Great. First one is attention. Mm-hmm. I need something that stands out. When you log into any website, you have about 3 to 5 seconds to convince someone that you're worth being there. By us saying 500K, and this is not made up, like we actually have case studies where we've been able to deliver at least 500K. Because again, technical businesses tend to mean expensive businesses.
Sure. Yeah. Right? Yeah. They're for us, they're making a lot more than 500K, mm-hmm. but you're adding just that to their pipeline means a whole lot.
Correct. So again, for us, like I needed to get someone's attention before. Right. So the principle, like you need to be able to stand out. So after enough conversations, I was like, we have a use case that's 500K, and then pipeline. There's not closed sales because enterprise-based selling for our clients sometimes takes a long time. It takes 6 months to 18 months.
Yeah.
But they want to know their pipeline's filled up.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's a great point, because you know from your audience that a full pipeline is just, if not more important than any given sale on any given day.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Cause that allows them to forecast, to plan. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that word. All right. Second, your subhead here. We are a strategic B2B lead generation and marketing agency specializing in LinkedIn and email for highly technical businesses. You've touched on a little bit, mm-hmm. but kind of break that down for us.
Yeah, that goes in tune with the principle of branded, right? Like what makes our agency different from someone else's? Again, I wanted to outline that very specifically. So we have two proposals on the table, one from Boundless Media, one from a competitor. What's Boundless Media's value add? What's its brand? There it is. Do they do social media ads? Do they do Facebook ads? No, they don't. LinkedIn email.
And I think that's as you niche down, I mean, that's one of the things you have to get comfortable with, right? Is like leaving services out and leaving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember when I was in construction business with my dad and we would interview subcontractors and he's like, I don't trust the guy who says he can do everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's like, tell me you're a great painter and that you're terrible at carpentry, but don't tell me you can frame a house and paint the house at the end because yeah. it's not the same skill set.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So we would always look for people that are like, yeah, I do, you know, X really well, but man, don't make me do that other stuff. I hate it. Like that's what we want. That's what we want. So, real quick question, Nico, what's the average age of your person? I've got a
persona.
Yeah.
So usually it's two camps, right? So I'm going to do the business size or business age and then the persona age. Business age tends to be anywhere from 2 to 5 years. They already have the concept. They've proven it out. They just want to add gasoline to it. The age of the person, it ranges from anyone who's 19 running a multi 9-figure business to someone who's 35, 40.
Okay. I was just going to say, if you had old people like me and Jonathan, like this line here on reverse type would be hard to read.
No, you're right. It's way, way more optimized for mobile. You're right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, don't age us too. Don't date us too much.
I mean, once you get the readers on, man, it's like, oh man, it's like it's all so this funny stuff matters.
It's so funny because as soon as you mention it, the right, now I'm like, oh, it makes sense because the right hand color might be a little, you know, like too bright. But the principle here is the three E's. So whenever you're thinking about content marketing, I need you to think about the three E's, which is you want to entertain someone to get their attention, educate someone to build trust, and engage with someone to contextualize your solution. Passive marketing, content marketing, I'll start with active marketing. Active marketing is outbound. Like I want to actually start entertaining you, right? Entertain means I want to start caring about the things you care about. Right. If you have a post, I'm going to go comment on it. You run a podcast like this or a Facebook show, I'm going to comment on it, right? I mean, outbound, I'm going to talk to you because you found that interesting. So I found an industry. Education, passive marketing. I need to educate you why my solution works if you are in this niche. Why this wouldn't work for you if you're, your business just got started 3 months ago. And then for us, the management is the engage. Once you trust me, once you know about me, you trust me, you actually have to have a conversation with me because this isn't a $5 ebook. Like I sell $1,500 to $12,000 packages. Mm-hmm. No one's whipping out a credit card for a $12,000 package if they don't trust me, know who I am and know that I can actually deliver.
Right.
So yeah, that's the three E's.
Okay. I know you got a hard stop here. So I blew right past. Yeah. So then you go into this basically kind of a cool infographic. And I do think it's interesting. Like it feels like your site, it feels technical. Like it feels like a technical or a tech company, right? The colors, everything like this. It has that like, oh, this guy gets us because it looks like a technical company type site. So you've got this infographic where you talk about your process.
Yeah.
Walk us through that just a little bit.
Yeah. I want to be resourceful. Again, what is the number one question that I get? What's your process? So why don't I just exactly show you my process, exactly how I'm going to help you if you work with
me. So this was a direct answer to things people were asking you when you got on calls with them or in conversation with them online or whatever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Cause there's a lot of ways to generate business, right? They want to know what makes us different.
Okay, cool. So. And then, yeah, this cool graphic here, the high with the dot moving, that's kind of,
it adds a little engagement. Like there's no principle in here. Specifically, like what we're trying to do here is like, why do we exist as a business? Like we exist to help our clients generate more money. That's the business that we're in, right? And we do that through prospecting, getting them more conversations.
Cool. And then obviously we get to the testimonials. So we know that.
Social selling. That's principle social selling, right?
Absolutely.
The number one sales tactic you can add right now is happy customers.
Yeah.
Show me people like me who've worked with you.
There's a great copy question that I use and I try to keep in mind. When people are going through your material, they're always asking, like subconsciously, that they're not actually using these words, but they're asking, am I a person that buys from a company like this?
Yeah.
Right. So, and the way they figure that out is, are other people like me? Like, are these people like me? So these people have bought, are we similar? Like, is Tristan, you know, is he kind of like me, or is Vicky kind of like me? Is she in the same role? Is like, what are the, and then there's that comfort there. So it's not like the testimonial for testimonial's sake. It's not just because they're praising you. It's like, I think what people need to realize is testimonials work because it helps the reader identify that this is my kind of people and this company works for my kind of people.
Yeah. The only other question I'll throw in here that the number one complaint people have is, great, I don't have one. Here's the thing. You can get one if you really want. You can get any testimonial. Do work for free. That's how Boundless Media got off the ground. That's how I got testimonials for my book. This is the first book I've ever written, right? I sent it to people that I thought could find value in it. Cost me money, but by doing that, I got such a high ROI because then I got a testimonial to share. Sure. So work for free. Prove out, like, can you actually fulfill on your graphic design skills or whatever? So,
So this part of the page here looks like you just, that's probably anchored to the above section.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. So again, it's usually people have a lot more questions because again, you want to brand yourself. So for us, it's like no one really says active passive marketing. So we wanted to brand ourselves as like them starting to use our verbiage.
Right. Create your own language. I mean, we've talked about that for, it's how you start a cult, right? Create your own language.
Yep.
Yep, all right. Going through that, and then the frequently asked questions, which you kind of already talked about, where like these are what people are already asking, or they've asked you. You might as well compile them because similar people are probably going to ask similar questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, it's not every phone call is ROI positive. Not every conversation is ROI positive. Sometimes it's a branding play and sometimes it's a direct selling play. Mm-hmm. For you, you have to determine what makes sense for your business or your initiative right now. So don't be afraid to like, marketers are, you guys probably like, you know, have seen this too. Love gated content. I don't get anything. Take whatever you want, right? If I really wanted your email, I could use a software and get it.
Sure.
But again, it's different philosophies, but like for me, how can I be as transparent as possible so that when you come to me, you're already qualified yourself into my funnel.
Right.
That's really interesting because I've got a client right now who's probably the opposite. Like other than their podcast, they like everything is behind a fairly expensive membership for the niche. Right. So it's interesting that like they don't give anything away and they're super successful. And then other people give everything away and they're super successful. Yeah. So like, I don't think it matters is my point. Like, it's just, what do you want to do? And just stick to that. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Do what feels right to you. And cause if you don't feel right about it, it doesn't matter which one you pick, right? Mm-hmm. You got to feel good about what you're offering. But do you have any like hard data on one way or the other?
hard. I mean, for me, it just depends on like what you're measuring, right? So like if you're measuring how many emails have I added to my CRM, ungated tends to be lower, but how warm are the conversations when they say book a demo or I'd like to learn more on the ungated tends to be a little higher. I'll tell you a story. I knew as soon as I put my book out there, someone's going to pirate it and put it on Tor and it's going to be gone. It happened. And it was funny because I would start getting direct messages. Hey, I found your website or your audiobook on YouTube. I have a question about X. Can we jump on a call? So it's interesting because I learned everything I did from other marketers, and they've learned it from others. And that's just how the cycle goes. That's why like the three E's, I think is the most important thing I talk about, which is if they trust you enough to steal your stuff, eventually there's going to be a threshold where they just can't learn anymore. Like when I work with like a biotech company, you don't know exactly what I have to say about how I can help generate money for biotech companies. You're going to have to ask me, mm-hmm. right? Because it's just, I don't have enough of an audience in the biotech world to put out more content around it. So it's just magic. If you put out more content, at my peak, I was doing 35 to 40 pieces a day. Now I do seven. Wow. So
when you say pieces of content, like what types of content? Because I mean, obviously people listen to like 35 pieces of content, like is that 35 tweets or is that 35 blog posts? You know, like what are we looking at?
Yeah. So I'll give you guys a hack how you can double your content overnight, right? Shoot a video, write a caption and copy that caption and post it as a tweet. Right. Mm. Then you take that caption, you take a selfie, put it on Instagram. That's another post. Then in your like story, right, you take that caption, put like a basic background on it, put the caption there. That's another post. TikTok, summarize that in 5 seconds. Take that TikTok, put it on LinkedIn stories. And you have another post. So you're just taking the same.
You're just repurposing that one idea into multiple formats. Yeah.
And then when Janice is like, great, how does this relate to XYZ? Then you answer that, copy that as a, you know, star of your blog or whatever. So it's just that very first post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Well, I know, I think you had a place to be at the top of the hour. So, we'll wrap up a little bit. Any last questions you had, Jonathan? Obviously, we want to know more about where people can find Nico, but any other questions?
Yeah, that's mainly it, man. We've enjoyed having you on. We know you got to be somewhere, but how can people find out more? We just looked at your website. So refresh everyone, all of our listeners who didn't get to see that, you know, what the website is, how they can find your book. What's the best place to reach out to you?
Yeah, best place is social media, or you can email me at nico@getboundlessmedia.com. The website's Get Boundless Media. I mean, I'm all over the interwebs. So tweet me, NicoDeBrain0, I think. NicoDeBrain on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. So again, for me, it's in, I want to give a quick shout out to everyone here. It's like, just reach out to us. Like, I'm not some crazy guy that's like super popular or whatever, even though I'm on the show, so there's more clout there. But really, if you have a question about marketing, even if you're not in the B2B world, let me know. Happy to help, happy to give resources. I post multiple times a day about how you can be a better marketer every day. So my friends, thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, and I will, before we jump off, I will read one cool line from your bio that we should have read, but we're never organized on this show.
Yeah.
No. So you're touted as a guy that can sell anything, and you even sold empty Apple iPhone and MacBook boxes online back in the day. So if you can sell iPhone boxes and Mac, of course, Sean and I, we're notorious for keeping ours around forever.
I've got a closet full of them over here.
Hey, they're $15 a pop. Listen, like that's how I learned SEO because you just go on again in college. I didn't have a lot of cash. So we'd go to the rich section a couple blocks away. They had Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Everyone just dropped their MacBook and iPhone boxes or take them to the apartment.
Sure.
Take a picture. put it on eBay and they would sell. I would net 12 to 15 a pop from them.
Can you believe
that? Crazy.
That's crazy.
It's funny because I actually contacted the guy who bought them. He was like my best customer. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I buy them from Facebook Marketplace and, or buy iPhones or Macs. I put them in the box and they go for 33% more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's all about
people sense. Want.
Every time I've ever sold an Apple product or anything on eBay, they're like, the first question is, do you still have the original box? That's all they ask.
Yep. So
it's crazy. Guys,
thank you so much.
Appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon. Hey, take care. Have a great weekend. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Again, the book is, I got to pull it up here. We're All Marketers, 20 Go-To Principles. Why is my screen keep popping up? Okay, there we go. 20 Go-To Principles to Help You Market Like a Marketer. And we'll be posting a link. Sean, that was fun. Interesting conversation. Yeah,
it is amazing to me what 16-year-olds can do these days.
It's like, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like Doogie Howser there. I mean, come on. You know, we're not ancient by any means, but compared to that guy, golly.
Yeah, he's killing it. I love it. So, all right. Well, our next episode is episode number 200. Is that
right? Yes, 200, man. Can you believe that? 200 episodes in the tank.
That is amazing.
So we've got some fun stuff we'll be talking about. Probably highlight some old episodes. It'll be another random flight for our 200.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to make too big a deal. We want to act like we've been there, right? And remember when you're football in high school, your coach is like, hey when you get to like the end zone, act like you've been there.
That's
like,
right.
Don't get stupid.
Nope.
So,
but we're gonna have a little bit higher content beverage.
I am, yes, for sure.
I'm not sure what you have. After what you said, I'm like, I got to follow suit, so. So we'll see you guys. Hopefully you can join us on the next episode, Persuasion by ThePint.com. You can follow us on all of your podcast platforms, Stitcher Radio, iHeart, Spotify, you name it. And leave us 5 stars. We greatly appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.